Amen. Well, please take your Bibles now at this time, and we are going to be in Matthew 13 and verses 31 through 35. Matthew 13, 31 to 35. Our message series is on the parables of the kingdom, and we are looking at seven parables of Jesus, all found right here in Matthew chapter 13. And so far in our series, we've looked at two parables. We've looked at the parable of the sower. Last week, we looked at the parable of the weeds. And today, we're going to look at two more. Today, we're going to look at the parables of the mustard seed and the yeast. The mustard seed and the yeast. So we're in Matthew 13. We're going to be looking at verses 31 through 35 in the message. But to get started right now, I'm just going to read verses 31 through 33. Will you please stand with me for the reading of God's word? Matthew 13, verses 31 through 33. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and planted in his field. Though it is the smallest of all your seeds, yet when it grows, it is the largest of garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and perch in its branches. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed into a large amount of flour until it worked all through the dough. This is the word of God. Let us pray. Well, dear Lord, as we look at these two parables this morning, I pray, God, that once again you would help us to understand. Holy Spirit, you've inspired this word. Jesus, you spoke these words. Holy Spirit, you've recorded them for us so that we might learn and grow this morning. Help us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. So this morning we're going to look at two parables, okay? Two parables together all in the same day. And that's because these two parables actually go together. These two parables, they're a pair. You could even call them twins, okay? Twin parables. And these are not the only twin parables or twin stories that you find in the Bible. Other examples would include the parables of the treasure and the pearl, which we're going to look at next week. You might also think about the cupbearer and the baker. Do you remember them in the Old Testament? They had twin dreams. You had Pharaoh, who had his two twin dreams of the fat and then the skinny cows, also in the book of Genesis. And so we have these two parables together today, and these twin parables today and the other ones that when we meet them, they're not exactly the same, okay? They're not exactly the same, but rather they work together and they help to interpret each other. I like what one person says about them. One should not assume that parable twins are necessarily identical. They may very well be fraternal twins and make similar but not identical points. And so the parables that we're going to be looking at today, they're twin parables. They're similar. They're not identical to each other. They're also not fully developed stories. We said that. Some of the parables are fully developed stories with all sorts of characters and action that takes place. These are not like that. Rather, these are just simple analogies. And a lot of the parables are like that. You can just say them in a sentence or two. Jesus is telling us that the kingdom of heaven is like what happens with the mustard seed. The kingdom of heaven is like what happens with the yeast in these parables. And in doing so, Jesus brings us a message of hope. He brings us a message of hope following the losses and the setbacks that we saw in the previous two parables. Think about it for a moment, right? In the parable of the sower, what did we see? Only one out of the four seeds actually grows. That could be discouraging, right? Only one out of four. And then we looked at the parable of the weeds. What happens there? In the parable of the weeds, yeah, we've got the crop sown, but then an enemy comes along and he sows weeds among the wheat. But now we come to these two parables, and the parables of the mustard seed and the yeast assure us. They assure us that despite all the obstacles, God's kingdom will continue to grow. God's kingdom will grow. And the parables of the mustard seed and the yeast answer this question. How can the kingdom of God already be here, right? Because Jesus said, hey, the kingdom of God is here. How can the kingdom of heaven already be here when it seems so small? Or it's growing so slowly. And the answer, as we'll see through these parables, is that the kingdom of heaven has small beginnings but yields remarkable results. And once again, that's good news for us, folks. That's good news because sometimes we may feel small or insignificant, right? Sometimes we might wonder, you know, whether what we do for God even matters. But hear this. Even your smallest efforts all count. Why? Because we are all part of something bigger than ourselves. We are part of the kingdom of God. So let's take a look now at these two parables together. And first up, we have the parable of the mustard seed. Look at verses 31 and 32 with me now. He told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and planted in his field. Though it is the smallest of all your seeds, yet when it grows, it is the largest of garden plants and becomes a tree so that the birds of the air come and perch in its branches. So what is the kingdom like according to this parable? The first thing we learn from the parable of the mustard seed is that God's kingdom starts small. You got that? God's kingdom starts small. Jesus says, like a mustard seed. Like a mustard seed which a man took and planted in his field. Now, the mustard seed, it is not the smallest seed in the world, although it is the smallest seed that was commonly planted in Israel. That's why Jesus says it's the smallest of your seeds. A mustard seed is only 1 millimeter in diameter. It takes about 750 seeds to add up to 1 gram. A gram is 1/28 of an ounce, so we multiply 750 times 28. It takes about 21,000 of these little mustard seeds to even just equal 1 ounce in weight. And Jesus says the kingdom of heaven is like one of these little tiny mustard seeds. So like a little mustard seed which a man takes and plants in his field. What's Jesus saying? God's kingdom starts small. Now that should seem strange to us, right? Because God is so big. You think, well, if God is big, wouldn't his kingdom be big too? And you know what? I'm sure this seems strange to the disciples as well. Here was Jesus, who looked just like an ordinary man, proclaiming that the kingdom of heaven had come. And wow, that must be something really big, right? And they look around, and what do they see? It's just them, right? It's just them and Jesus traveling around, teaching the people. It's just Jesus and a bunch of unschooled fishermen and others, and they must have felt really insignificant compared to the power of Rome with all of its legions of soldiers. But you know what? That's okay, because God's kingdom starts small. God is not interested in flash or show. God is interested in changing people's hearts and lives one person at a time. God doesn't seek out the brightest and the best, but he seeks out sinners who know they need a Savior. Paul wrote this to the church of the Corinthians. He said, "Brothers, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were influential. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. He chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before him." And then another time, Jesus turned to his ragtag bunch of disciples and said to them, he said, "Do not be afraid, little flock." I like that. Little flock. "For your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom." You see, God's kingdom starts small. It has humble beginnings. I'm sure most people didn't give the disciples a second glance. Imagine there are people all over this region who don't give our church a second glance, or perhaps other churches. But you know what? That's okay. Because God's kingdom seems unimpressive at first, but that's only because it doesn't come all at once. God's kingdom starts small. But there's a second part to this parable, right? God's kingdom may start small, but it will grow surprisingly large. And that's what we see in verse 32, right? Jesus says, though it is the smallest of all your seeds, yet when it grows, it is the largest of garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and perch in its branches. And this image of a tree with the birds resting in its branches, this is a common image in the Old Testament for, ready for this, for a kingdom. For a kingdom. You see it in Ezekiel, you see it in Daniel, common image for a kingdom. And Jesus says, that's what this mustard seed's going to grow into. Yeah, the mustard seed's a very tiny seed, but it grows into this huge plant. And that's exactly why Jesus used it for this parable. God's kingdom starts small, but it will grow surprisingly large. And then Jesus says something very similar with the parable of the yeast. Look at verse 33 with me next. He told them still another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed into a large amount of flour until it worked all through the dough. Now, some people find this parable confusing because yeast is often used in the Bible in a negative sense. Yeast is often used as a symbol for sin or hypocrisy. And so they wonder, is Jesus telling us something negative here? What's this yeast all about? However, we also need to understand that there are also positive uses of yeast in the scriptures as well, and that the same symbol in scripture is also often used in different ways. Let me give you an example. The symbol of a lion in scripture is used to represent both Satan, your enemy is a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour, is used to represent both Satan and Jesus, the Lion of Judah. One symbol, two very different things, right? And so although some people interpret this parable in a negative way, they think the yeast is negative, I believe that the yeast is meant as a positive symbol in this parable. Remember, this parable is a twin, right? It's a twin with the parable of the mustard seed, which is a very positive parable. It means they both have to do the same thing. They work together. In both parables, what is Jesus doing? He is teaching us about the surprising growth of the kingdom. And just as the parable of the mustard seed teaches us that God's kingdom starts small, the parable of the yeast teaches us that God's kingdom remains hidden at first. God's kingdom remains hidden at first. Look at the first part of verse 33 with me now. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed into a large amount of flour. I want you to notice the large amount of flour there. It's actually specified in the original language as 3 measures of flour. 3 measures. You say, well, what's that all about? Well, that was the common amount used when making bread. It's the same amount that was used in the Old Testament when we read about Sarah, the wife of Abraham, Gideon, Hannah, the mother of Samuel, when they were making bread. Same thing, 3 measures of flour. Now, it's still a very large amount. Okay, that's enough to make bread for about 100 people. And you go, wow, that's a lot of bread. Well, you know, you'd make it all at once. It'd be enough to feed your family and your servants, you know, for several days or perhaps a week. The important thing, though, about the yeast or leaven in this parable is that it is such a small amount compared to the large amount of flour, and that it remains hidden at first, right? You can't see the yeast in the flour, right? You can't see it at first, but it's still there, and it's the yeast that gives the bread the potential to grow. And so that's the meaning from the first part of the parable of the yeast. God's kingdom remains hidden at first. But there's a second part to the parable, right? Just as there was a second part with the parable of the mustard seed. Yes, God's kingdom remains hidden at first, but it will spread throughout the whole earth. It'll spread through the whole earth. Look at the rest of verse 33 with me now. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed into a large amount of flour until it worked through all the dough. This reminds me of an old I Love Lucy episode you might have seen on television where Lucy puts too much yeast into the bread, right? And then, you know, this giant loaf of bread just comes flying out of the oven after that. It just grows so much. The yeast remains hidden at first. But what's it doing all that time? It's working away on the bread. It's spreading throughout the whole batch of dough, causing it to grow. And in the same way, the Bible teaches us that God's kingdom is going to spread through the whole earth. Jesus told his followers this in Matthew 5:13. He said, you are the salt, right? Salt is something that seasons, it has influence. But he says, you are the salt of the earth, right? Of the whole earth. Just like the yeast, the salt is a picture of Christian influence in the world. And as Christians, what are we supposed to do? We are to share the gospel far and wide, and we are to allow God's Spirit to make us more like Jesus so that we can be a witness to those around us as believers living a new life in Christ, transformed by the Holy Spirit. You're the salt of the earth. Jesus taught us to pray in the Lord's Prayer. We prayed it earlier this morning. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Yes, God's kingdom may start small, and yes, it may remain hidden at first, but we are to pray that God's kingdom will come to earth, and we are to pray that God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And believe me, God is going to answer that prayer. The parable of the yeast is a very simple illustration of the kingdom. You have a small amount of yeast that works its way through the whole batch of dough. And in the same way, God's kingdom remains hidden at first, but it will eventually spread through the whole earth. We can certainly see this with the worldwide spread of the gospel. Remember, Christianity began with what? With 12 ordinary disciples following Jesus around a small piece of land in the Middle East. And now it has grown to permeate and penetrate every country in every continent on the earth. Now, there are still many unreached people groups within many of those countries, but the gospel continues to go forth, and God's kingdom continues to grow. You know, if only the disciples could see the church today, how far the gospel has gone since those small beginnings 2,000 years ago, I believe they can see it. I believe they're looking down from heaven and they're watching it and they are just overwhelmed by what they are seeing God doing. And they are giving praise to God even now as God's kingdom continues to expand. And then Matthew closes out these twin parables with just two more thoughts on Jesus teaching the crowds with parables. And first, he emphasizes once again how Jesus just used these simple stories to teach about the kingdom. Look at verse 34, which says, Jesus spoke all these things to the crowd in parables. He did not say anything to them without using a parable. Jesus loved teaching through parables, and at least on this occasion, he did not say anything to the crowd without using a parable. It was all parables all the way. He used these simple stories from everyday life to teach these important truths about the kingdom. Not everybody understood them at the time, right? Including his own disciples. Remember, he had to explain some of the parables to them later. But no matter. You know, the parables just kind of stuck in your head, these everyday images, and they made you think and reflect on what Jesus was teaching you about the kingdom. Jesus taught the crowds with parables, and in doing so, he also fulfilled Old Testament prophecy. We see this in verse 35, where Matthew writes, "So was fulfilled what was spoken through the prophet. I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things hidden since the creation of the world." Matthew's quoting Psalm 78:2 from the Old Testament here in this verse. And he's saying, hey, Jesus taught parables in fulfillment of Old Testament prophecy. Jesus was teaching us things that had been hidden from the very creation of the world. In other words, in these parables, Jesus is revealing things about God's kingdom that no one had really understood before. And so no wonder we should read these parables, we should listen to these parables, we should study these parables and marvel at them. Do you want to know what God's kingdom is like? Read Jesus' parables of the kingdom. And I love these two parables of the mustard seed and the yeast. God's kingdom starts small, but it will grow surprisingly large. God's kingdom remains hidden at first, but it will eventually spread through the whole earth. Because it's so easy for us just to look at our own small part in God's plan and to feel discouraged. We need to remember that we are part of a huge movement of God that is reaching the nations with the gospel. The kingdom of heaven arrived with Jesus, spread to his disciples, and continues to grow throughout the world. Eventually, God's kingdom will come in all of its fullness when Christ returns. And together, these two parables teach us, don't be discouraged, but keep on working, keep on praying together for God's kingdom. And then that day will come when Christ is revealed, and his kingdom will come in all of its glory. And all that is wrong will be made right. All wickedness and evil will be judged. Every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. And on that day, we will marvel at how God's kingdom has grown. From Christ's humble beginnings in Bethlehem, to his death on the cross, to his exaltation in heaven, to his glorious return, like a seed growing to harvest, like the yeast working its way through the dough, God's kingdom will fill the whole earth. And together, we will praise our great God and King forever and ever. Amen. Let us pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for these two simple stories, one about a mustard seed, one about yeast, and yet, Lord, teaching us big truths about your kingdom. Lord, help us not to get discouraged. Help us to be encouraged as we see the gospel continue to go throughout the world. Help us to put our prayers and our work and our giving into the Great Commission, that more and more would hear the gospel. And Lord, let us look forward to the day when Christ will return, when our faith will be made sight, when that which is hidden will be visible and obvious to all, that Jesus Christ is King of kings and Lord of lords, and your great kingdom will come to earth. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.